This is Capital Insider, an insider's guide to Oklahoma politics and policy. I'm Dick Pryor with eCapital News Director Sean Ashley. Sean, a recent story appeared that suggested there was a deal on the budget with $1 billion in taxes to generate additional revenue, but that's been shot down by people on all sides.
Very quickly Thursday, a number of officials began to dispute the idea that a deal had been reached between Governor Mary Fallon and House Democrats in particular to put forth a $1 billion tax increase series of proposals in a special session perhaps later this year. One of the first to speak out against it was Governor Fallon's Secretary of Finance and her chief budget advisor, Preston Dorflinger, who said that there was no deal and no agreement had been reached, not only between the governor and Democrats, but between the governor and anyone for that matter. Later in the day, House Democratic leader Scott Inman also refuted the idea that an agreement had been reached, and he suggested that it was House Republicans who have yet to put forward any revenue-raising ideas who were responsible for leaking what they said was a plan to this reporter. Later in the day, we also heard from Senate Appropriations Chairwoman Kim David, who claimed responsibility for the alleged list. What she said was that this list was a number of ideas that had been suggested, some by House Democrats, some by the governor, some by groups outside of the Capitol, of revenue-raising ideas that she asked Senate staff to put together so that there could be a laundry list for people to talk about in these budget negotiations. So she said it was simply a laundry list that they were looking at. But time and time again, everyone stressed, for the most part, that there was no deal. Except House Republicans. Late in the day, we heard from House Speaker Charles McCall and House Majority Leader Mike Sanders, who continued to pitch the idea that there was a $1 billion proposal being advanced by House Democrats and that they would not support it.
Meanwhile, the wait continues for Supreme Court decisions on three revenue-generating laws that are being challenged for their constitutionality.
Every day we keep expecting that we will see those decisions. But when you think about it, this is a very complex situation. First of all, you have to get agreement among a majority of the Supreme Court justices on whether the sales tax on motor vehicles is in fact constitutional or unconstitutional, specifically the way in which it was passed. And then you have to get agreement on how to communicate that idea in the opinion which they will issue. And there could be multiple opinions. You could have a majority and a minority or a couple of minorities in this case. I think one thing it does reveal to us is whatever the decision is, it's not a unanimous decision like the decision on the tobacco cessation fee.
Well, and on the tobacco tax, the constitutionality of that was challenged. It was found to be unconstitutional, and that has thrown the entire budget into disarray. We've seen the effects of that just in the last few days with the Oklahoma Healthcare Authority voting to cut back on the number of hours per client that mental health care providers can provide to their clients.
That's correct. This is something that the Commissioner of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services, Terry White, has warned about for a number of years as their budget began to decline, that they would be able to provide less case management services to some of their clients who receive Medicaid in particular. And what we saw this week was that a decision was made to reduce the number of those hours quite significantly, but it saves both the Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services and the Oklahoma Healthcare Authority millions of dollars that they simply don't have.
Those case managers were spending up to 6 hours and 15 minutes per client per month, and the cutback is now down to 4 hours per year.
Exactly. It's a major reduction in services.
We've also seen a record number of emergency teacher certifications.
For the third month in a row, the State Board of Education approved a large number of emergency certifications, in excess of 400 at its meeting on Thursday. That brings the total for the year up to around 1,400 individuals. And at the same time, various school districts are reporting that there are another 500 plus positions that they simply are unable to fill.
eCapital News Director Sean Ashley, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Until next time, I'm Dick Pryor.